أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله الذي ليس لأوليته ابتداء ولا لأزليته انقضاء، وانحصرت الأوصاف عن كنه معرفته، وردعت عظمته العقول، والذي لا تواري عنه سماء سماء ولا أرض أرضا. ثم الصلاة والسلام والتحية والإكرام على سيد البدحاء سيد المرسلين والأنبياء أبي القاسم محمد المصطفى. وعلى الجوهرة القدسية البتول العذراء سيدة النساء فاطمة الزهراء، وعلى بعلها أمير المؤمنين، وبنيها الذين أذهب الله عنهم الرجس وطهرهم تطهيرا. لا سيما على بقية الله وحجته الكبرى، الذي بيمنه رزق الورى، وبوجوده ثبتت الأرض والسماء، ولولاه لصاحت الأرض بأهلها، واللعنة الدائمة على أعدائهم أجمعين من حين عداوتهم إلى قيام يوم الدين. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في كتابه الكريم: ومن يوت الحكمة فقد أوتي خيرا كثيرا. صلوات One of the آثار and impacts of the معرفت that we are discussing in these nights, one of the athar and impacts of a person who has the ma'rifat of the Imam, which is the ma'rifat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is to have tawakkul on Allah. And the subject of tonight's speech is tawakkul. This is one of the great blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on a person to understand and to practice this value. I mentioned understanding because in our Islamic communities, generally speaking, there are several people who don't even understand the correct concept of tawakkul. And this is the reason why they are unable to practice. This is one of the reasons why they are unable to practice the tawakkul. Well, tawakkul is, in Arabic we use, like, they're obviously it's derived from the word al-wukul in the lughat, in the Arabic dictionary, which means tarkul amr ila al-ghair. Al-wukul in Arabic, which is the root word of tawakkul, means tarkul amr ila al-ghair. Then you leave the job on someone else. But this is not what is called tawakkul. We are talking about the root word of tawakkul, which is wukul. This is what we use it, tawakkul, in Arabic. In everyday conversations, we say tawakkul. Tawakkul means you don't do your job, and you leave your job on the shoulders of others, and you stay idle, and you expect others to perform the job. This is not what Islam calls tawakkul. This is called tawakkul. So tawakkul, in the Shari'i definition, is defined that a person has i'timad, he has complete trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and on the irada and will of Allah, and he believes that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the Khaliqul Asbab, the creator of all the means, and the Musabbibul Asbab, the one who arranges all the means for us. So when we believe like this, what happens as a result, then we will definitely believe that the natija and result of our a'mal is in the control of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we will rely on Allah about the natija and result. Tawakkul is not about, you know, about the, you know, relying on Allah without doing your fariza. This is what some people think. You talk to some people that, you know, they say, well, they are not doing their fariza towards Allah. Then we have tawakkul on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What do you mean by tawakkul? It's not called tawakkul in Islam. Tawakkul is a value of Islam which is defined that you have i'timad and you rely about the natija and result, and you rely on the irada and will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you believe that if you perform your fariza, Allah will provide you the natija and result. So the natija is provided after performing the fariza towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You cannot expect to achieve the natija and result without performing your duty. If you do this, this is called tawakkul in Arabic. You are basically staying idle, and you are shifting your burden from your shoulders on the shoulders of others and expecting them to do the job, and you don't want to do your job. This is not called tawakkul, this is tawakkul. So we don't do this tawakkul. The haddut tawakkul is defined in the hadith that you believe that your naf', your benefit, and your darar, your harm, is in the control of no one but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That means no creature can benefit you and no creature can harm you. And basically, it's only in the control of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So you will not fear anyone. وَلَا يَخَافُ أَحَدًا إِلَّا اللَّهِ. And he's not going to fear anyone other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When you believe that your harm and benefit is not in the hand of the humans or any other thing, then you're not going to fear any human or anything. Your harm and your benefit and harm, your naf and darar, is in the hands of Allah. So let us fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The reason why people are afraid of other humans and other things is because they don't understand the nazariyatul tawakkul, the concept of tawakkul in Islam. Man khafa min Allah akhafu, Imam Sadiq alayhi salam says, man khafa min Allah akhafu Allahu minhu kulla shay. Whoever fears Allah, Allah makes everything afraid from him. Wa man lam yakhaf min Allah khafa min kulla shay. And whoever is not afraid from Allah, he is afraid from everything. So if we understand the concept and we are afraid from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala only, we will not have the fear of other things. The fear of other things is there because we fail to understand that our benefit is and our harm is not in the control of the makhluqat. Our benefit and harm is not in the control of the creatures. Our benefit and harm is in the control of Allah. No benefit can reach you. No human can provide you any benefit, and no human can provide you any harm if Allah did not sanction that harm to reach you. This is what it is. And that's the reason why we find that a person who has tawakkul, he is the most strongest of all the humans. In the hadith of Imam Ridha alayhi salam, please say salawat. He says that man ahabba an yakuna aqwa an-nas falyatawakkal ala Allah. Whoever loves to be the most powerful, most, the strongest of all the humans, should have tawakkul on Allah. And this is what the people don't understand. People think if you gather, if they gather more money, they become powerful. Money is power. If they have big qabila and ashira and tribe and people, people support standing behind them, they are powerful. If they have a political party supporting them, they are powerful. If they have weapons with them, they are powerful. Isn't that right? All the makhluqat, all these examples belong to the creatures. Isn't that right? So the reason why people are afraid from everything else is because they don't understand the benefit and harm is in the hands of Allah. So we find that our religion Islam has been asking us to keep our trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala about the natija. Fariza is something that we have to do first. So don't say that I am doing tawakkul without doing your fariza. You have to fulfill your duties first, your fara'id first, and then about the natija, we rely on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He creates the asbab, all the means and tools that you may think of, and all the means and tools that you may never even think of are in the control of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the hadith says that, I would definitely want, especially our youth and even our elders, to please pay attention. Please say salawat. The hadith says that kun lima la tarju arja minka lima tarju. Kun lima la tarju arja minka lima la tarju. That means be more hopeful about what you don't have any hope in. Things about which you have zero hope. Be more hopeful towards those things as compared to the things that you have some hope with. What are the Imams trying to teach us? Look at the examples the Imam furnishes. So it makes the things very clear for us. So Imam alayhi salam says that فَإِنَّ مُوسَى خَرَجَ يَقْتَبِسْ لِأَهْلِهِ نَارًا رَجَعَ نَبِيًّا. Musa alayhi salam went to grab some flame of fire for his family members, isn't it right? In the story you find that Musa alayhi salam went out with his family and it was a cold, very cold weather, and he found some kind of light, so he went there, you know, to get some fire, so at least he can light up some fire and his family can be warm. So when he went there, that's where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the nida, the word came that, you know, فَخْلَعْنَ عَلَيْكَ إِنَّكَ بِالْوَادِ الْمُقَدَّسِ طُوَى. Isn't that right? فَاسْتَمِعْ لِمَا يُوحَى. So take off your slippers, because certainly you are in the holy valley of Tuwa. So that's where the wahi comes on Prophet Musa alayhi salam. So now he starts his propagation as a prophet. So he went there to grab fire and look at what happened to him. The second example that Imam alayhi salam says that kharajat malakatu saba fa aslamat ma'a Sulaiman. The queen of Sheba was a kafir. Isn't it right? The Hudhud says, أَحَبْتُ بِمَا لَمْ تُحِدْ بِهِ وَجِئْتُكَ مِنْ سَبَئٍ بِنَبَئٍ يَقِينٍ إِنِّي وَجَدْتُ إِمْرَأَةً تَمْلِكُهُمْ أُوْتِيَتْ مِنْ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ وَلَهَا عَرْشٌ عَظِيمٌ وَجَدْتُهَا وَقَوْمَهَا يَسْجُدُونَ لِلشَّمْسِ مِنْ دُونِ اللَّهِ وَزَيَّنَ لَهُمُ الشَّيْطَانُ أَعْمَالَهُمْ فَصَدَّهُمْ عَنِ السَّبِيلِ فَهُمْ لَا يَهْتَدُونَ. So Hudhud is talking sense. So many of the animals are talking have more, you know, sense led than so many of the humans. Alhamdulillah, Hudhud is a very sharif animal. And some of the riwayat say not to kill a Hudhud. So Hudhud is, he knew a news that Prophet Sulaiman alayhi salam did not know. Isn't it right? And he's now informing Prophet Sulaiman that inni wajadtu imra'atan tamlikuhum, when he returns back from Yemen. Sulaiman, when he used to be there, there were birds, you know, hovering over his head. So the shadow of the sun cannot reach the head of Prophet Sulaiman because there are birds in the sky who are hovering over his head. So once when he was there out in the sky, he found the sun ray coming over his head. And he saw, well, this spot is missing. So there is one bird, Hudhud is missing. That spot belonged to Hudhud. That was missing. So he got you know, anxious about that fact. You know, he said, you know, I'm going to slaughter this bird. Oh, the yatiyani besultanim mubin. So, in other words, I don't remember that ayat correctly, so I will not quote. So, if he, you know, he has to bring some sultanun mubin for me. And that's where we find for makasa ghaira ba'idin. He waited not that long. And that's where we find Hudhud came back and bring the news of the about the Queen of Sheba. We call it Saba. The Queen of Saba was a mushrika. And she was now invited by Prophet Sulaiman. He sends a letter through, you know, the bird. The letter was sent in the Hu bin Sulaiman. This is not part of the letter. This is the ayat of Quran. Letter did not start from Innahu min Sulaiman. Letter starts from Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Prophet Sulaiman is not going to mention his name ahead of the name of Allah. This is the ayat of Quran says Innahu min Sulaiman wa innahu Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. So the letter starts from Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Allah ta'alu alayya wa'tuni muslimin. So we find the Prophet Sulaiman invited her to become Muslims. Now she comes towards Prophet Sulaiman and obviously she converts into Islam after arriving into the palace of Prophet Sulaiman. So this is how it happens. If we have tawakkul on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then Prophet Sulaiman is performing his fara'id towards Allah. You know, for the natija, he relies on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The third example we find in the hadith, it says that وَخَرَجَ سَحَرَةُ فِرْعَوْنَ يَتْلُبُونَ الْعِزَّةَ لِفِرْعَوْنَ فَرَجَعُوا مُؤْمِنِينَ. That means the magicians of Fir'aun had gathered from all over his country to insult Prophet Musa alayhi salam and his miracle that he found himself to be helpless. So he gathered those magicians. Obviously we know that sahar and magic is haram in Islam. Anyone who performs sahar or magic is a kafir, is not a Muslim. You know, it takes kufr to perform sahar on somebody. In Islamic Sharia, it is not allowed to do magic on anyone. So he gathered the magicians and they threw their threads. So it was, it seemed to be, people thought that those are snakes. But Prophet Musa alayhi salam is not afraid. Isn't it right? So Allah commands him to throw his stick. And he threw his asa and stick, and the asa converts into a big python. And the big snake gulps all those threads that were seemingly, they were looking as snakes, and basically overwhelmed all of them. So when these magicians found that Prophet Musa alayhi salam has something, this miracle superior to their magic, so fa ulqiya saharatu sajidin, they all of them were dropped down performing the sajda towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they announced their iman over the Rabb and Lord of Musa and Harun. Please say salawat. So these examples makes very clear that being a mu'min, we should be having hope in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala about the result and natija. We should focus on our fariza, perform our duty first. About the natija and result, it's in Allah's control and not on the people. We don't rely on the people or any of the makhluqat and creatures about the result. We rely on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because He is the one who controls. He is the khaliq and creator of the asbab and the means, and He is the musabbib, the one who arranges the asbab and the means. And if that is clear, then our life will become easy. And in all possible situations, you, no matter how hard the situation you can be in your life, just like the situation of Banu Israel, children of Israel, when they are finally going along with Prophet Musa, Ala Nabiyyina wa Alihi wa Alayhi Salam, and now they come to the water. Now they're all running, they're coming to the water. Behind them is Fir'aun with his army, and in front of them is water. Isn't that a very dangerous situation? In front they see death, behind them they see death. Now they turn to Prophet Musa alayhi salam, what can we do right now? If we move forward, we will die because there is water. If we return back or we stay here, Fir'aun is chasing us with his army. They would die. What does Prophet Musa reply back? Prophet Musa replies back, there is a statement that shows his tawakkul on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He says, and the Quran is very clear about the statement of Prophet Musa alayhi salam, inna ma'iya rabbi sayahdeen. Certainly along with me is my Lord who is going to soon guide me. So here Hazrat Musa alayhi salam is remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So obviously, in tawakkul we have darajat, and that's what our urafa say. The daraja of tawakkul of Rasul and Ahlul Bayt alayhimus salam is afdal than the daraja and level of tawakkul of Prophet Musa alayhi salam. Why? Because the perspective, zawiyatul nazar of urafa is always different. It's always different. They will always look from a different perspective. Our urafa say, when Prophet Musa comes in danger, he says, Quran narrates, Inna ma'ya rabbi sayahdeen. Certainly with me is my Lord. Soon he will guide me. So he brings himself first. He mentions himself first, and then he mentions Allah second. Whereas, because he says, Inna ma'iya, certainly with me, Rabbi, with me is my Lord. So he's mentioning himself first, and he's mentioning his Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Rabbi, second. Whereas when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is in the situation of danger, then in the morning he went for the hijrat, from Makkah towards the Medina, and now the mushrikeen of Makkah came chasing the Holy Prophet to kill him, and the Prophet is in the ghar. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "La tahzan inna Allaha ma'ana." Don't be sorrowful. Certainly Allah is with us. So Rasulullah mentions the zikr and mention of Allah before mentioning the zikr of his own self. Please say salawat. He did not say, La tahzan inna ma'ana Allah. He did not say that. Isn't it? Like Prophet Musa alayhi salam said, Inna ma'iya, brings himself first, Rabbi second. This is what Urafa says. This is how we discover there's a difference in the daraja of tawakkul of Allah. He used Prophet, you never used to see anyone or anything other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in his life. Just like Amir Mumin alayhi salam never used to see anyone or anything other than Allah in his life. Did Imam Ali alayhi salam say that Ma ra'aytu shay'an illa wa ra'aytu Allah qablahu wa ba'dahu wa ma'ahu wa fihi? I haven't seen anything except that I saw Allah before seeing that thing and after seeing that thing, wa ma'ahu, and along with that thing, wa fihi, and in that thing. What does it mean? It means that all Imam Ali alayhi salam was seeing in his life was Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Isn't it right? This is how Rasulullah was. He didn't pay attention to none of this dunya nor akhirah. Dunya was presented in front of Rasulullah, and akhirah was also presented in front of Rasulullah. He did not pay attention to neither dunya nor the akhirah, because Allah was enough for him. And not just for worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for any of his sifat. That's another issue. lots and lots and lots of Muslimin who are doing the ibadat and worship of Allah, they are doing the ibadat and worship for one or more of the sifat and attributes of Allah. This person is a very nice mu'min, and as soon as tomorrow he's fired from his job, you find he starts complaining against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I'tiraz, complain against Allah. Why did Allah do that to me? His ibadat decreases. Is that right? So what does it show? This shows that this person was actually, he's not Abdullah. He's Abdul Razik. He was worshipping that God who was providing the risk to him. Now that he's fired from the job, he is no longer ready to worship Allah with the same hub and love towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that he used to worship when he had a job. So actually he doesn't deserve, he's not Ahl. He does not deserve in Ilmul Irfan to be called as Abdullah. Because he is not Abdullah. Allah huwa al-ismul jami' al-mustajmi' li-jami' al-sifat al-kamaliyah. Allah is a name that includes all the attributes of kamal of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Not just only one. So this person is only Abdul Raziq, not more than that. That's why his ibadat pattern changes as soon as he loses the job. Isn't that right? Some people are Abdul Mun'im. Allah is providing them ni'mats and blessings, so they are very happy because they are receiving the ni'mat of Allah. As soon as they become mareed, they become sick, Allah makes them mareed. Allah makes them sick, give them some sickness, provide any bala towards them. Isn't that right? They start complaining, i'tiraz on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His qada and qadr. So this guy is actually Abdul Mun'im only. He's not Abdullah, does not deserve to be. Abdullah is a very huge, very high status for a person, for an abd to be Abdullah. To be a servant of all the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Not just some, all the attributes. We don't even understand all the attributes of Allah, isn't it right? We don't even know the meanings of all the attributes of Allah. How would we practice? So becoming Abdullah is extremely hard. Although we believe that the sifat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are ayn al-zat. They're nothing but His essence. His attributes are nothing but His essence. Ayn al-zat. But the sifat al-af'al, obviously sifat al-af'al are not ayn al-zat. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is khaliq. Khaliqiyat is not ayn al-zat. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is raziq. Raziqiyat is not ayn al-dhat. Isn't that right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala becomes muttasif. He is described with a sifat which belongs to His actions after He performs that action. When Allah started to create, then He is called khaliq. Isn't that right? So that's what it is. So khaliqiyat is not ayn al-dhat, but the ilm of Allah is ayn al-dhat. Qudrat of Allah is ayn al-zat. Isn't it right? Hayat, Allah is hay. That's ayn al-zat. Isn't it right? So what we are discussing is that becoming the becoming a servant of Allah is a very great status. When it comes to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, Allah... Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not ask us in the salat, in the prayers, which is the mi'raj of a mu'min. As-salatu mi'rajul mu'min. Isn't it right? It's an ascension of a mu'min. So when we read the salat, Allah commanded the believers to say, Ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluh. Please say salawat.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa alihi Muhammad.
Allah did not ask, didn't make wajib on a Muslim to say, Ashhadu anna Muhammadan Abdullah wa Rasulullah. No. Prophet is afdal than Abdullah. That will be an understatement. That's not an accurate, complete, perfect statement. That's an understatement to define the azamat of and glory and greatness of Rasulullah. Prophet is afdal than being Abdullah. Prophet is abduhu. There's a difference between Abdullah and Abduhu. When we are discussing the level and daraja of tawakkul of Rasulullah, we must understand what is the status of Rasulullah, where does he stand?
The manzilat of Rasulullah. So Allah is making wajib on the believers to say, Ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu. And that's what our urafa say. This dhamir and pronoun is returning back to al-maqamul ghayb al-ilahi. That means the maqam of the unseeable status of the essence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not perform any of his actions for the sake of anything else. He did everything only for the sake of the zat and essence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Who can even understand that highness? I just mentioned moments ago, we cannot even understand all the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So understanding the highness and azmat of the essence of Allah is beyond the reach of the human mind. Please say salawat. So none of the prophets were invited on Mi'raj to the Arsh and beyond the Arsh. Isn't it right? Except our Holy Prophet. ثُمَّ دَنَا فَتَدَلَّ فَكَانَ قَابَ قَوْسَيْنَ أَوْ أَدْنَى. He got closer, you know, to a bow or even less than a bow. So the Prophet was invited to that level of closeness towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which none of the prophets were invited. And when Allah mentions the one of a kind, munfarid and unique treatment as a guest that Allah provided for His most beloved Prophet about Mi'raj, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala again discussing the highest event and the highest treatment that Allah did as a guest towards Rasulullah as compared to the rest of the Prophets of God in terms of the Mi'raj. From the perspective of Mi'raj, Allah says, Subhanalladhi asra bi'abdihi. Allah did not say, Subhanalladhi asra bi'abdillah. Prophet is Abdullah as well. But this is understatement for Rasulullah. Allah says, Subhanalladhi, glorified is He, asra bi'abdihi, who took in the night His servant. His servant. Not the servant of Allah, His servant. Asra bi'abdihi. Prophet is Abduhu. He deserves to be Abduhu. So when he belongs to the level of Maqamul Ghayb al-Ilahi, this kind of Prophet deserves to say, La tahzan inna Allaha ma'ana. So he will bring the zikr and mention of Allah first and always first before mentioning his own self. He doesn't care about himself. This is the tawakkul of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So we find that Anbiya alayhimus salam had tawakkul, but no one reaches the daraja of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam had tawakkul too. When Namrud is throwing Hazrat Ibrahim ala nabiyyina wa alihi alayhi salam in the fire, we find that there are so many riwayat. The angel of wind. Allah has an angel who blows the winds. All the winds in this earth are blown by an angel. Isn't that right? The angel of wind comes to Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam. If you ask me, I can come, send a wind and then extinguish this fire. What is this fire? Little fire as compared to the power and qudrat and strength this angel has from Allah's behalf. It's nothing for him. And look at it. When are these angels offering the support to Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam? When he's already thrown by Minjaniq, by that special device that was made upon the advice of Shaitan. Shaitan advised to make this Minjaniq, this special device to throw a human high. And now Prophet Ibrahim is already thrown. He's up in the air. He's about to fall. Look at the imminent threat and danger. It's not a perceived threat. It's an imminent threat. He's definitely going to go towards the fire. Isn't it right? There's no doubt about it. What would be our situation if we were in that situation? Why is Prophet Ibrahim so calm and in comfort? Because he has tawakkul. Why does he have tawakkul? Because he already performed his fariza in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Anyone who performed the fariza will be bound to have tawakkul in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as well. And he is not going to fear anyone other than Allah. The reason why we don't have tawakkul is because we did not perform our fariza towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One of the reasons is this.
So the angel of rain came to Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam. If you want, I can send down the rain. He did not accept the offer of the angel of wind or the angel of rain.
Jibreel came, Sayyidul Malaika, giving his support. And these angels obviously, they all are under the amr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They never perform, they never do, they never say anything without the izn and permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They are masoom. So Allah is sending these angels. Isn't that right? Angels are coming on behalf with the izn of Allah. But look at the level of tawakkul of Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam. He's not accepting the offer from Ghairullah. So now we find that Jibreel offers his support. Hallaka hajatun. That's the Madmuna Riwayah. Do you have a need? Obviously he has a need. As Ibrahim replies back, Naam. Yes, I have a need, in other words. Amma ilayk fala. But towards you, no. Some of the riwayat says that he said that ilmuhu bihali yughni an su'ali. Allah's knowledge about my situation, suffices me from asking him. We have riwayat, that some of the riwayat that tell us, if somebody does not ask Allah because he is mashghul, he is busy in the zikr and remembrance of Allah, Allah suffices him for his hajat. If you could not do your hajat because you are busy in the dhikr of Allah, Allah is automatically going to take care of your hajat. Zikr is obviously, that's not the subject of my speech tonight, but zikr and remembrance, yad-e-ilahi, how we say in Farsi, the remembrance of Allah is such a unique ibadat and worship that there is no worship in Islam similar to zikr. Every worship has a miqdar, mu'ayyan and fixed in Islam. Salat has a miqdar and magnitude. Fasting has a magnitude fixed. Hajj has a time frame. And the only ibadat where there is no miqdar and magnitude fixed by Quran and by Islam is zikr. Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, uzkurullaha zikran kaseera. O you who believe, do a lot of zikr. What is a lot? What is the hudud of kaseer? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says a lot of zikr. So zikr is that ibadat which is not fixed. So we find the hadith says, As-sa'iqatu tusibu al-mu'mina wal-kafira wa la tusibu dhakir Allah. Sa'iqa means the lightning. Sometimes you find the lightning comes from those clouds and falls in the buildings. Houses get burned, even humans die in those natural disasters. Isn't it right? There's so many states, even in America, where there's a lightning falling on the human population. Isn't it right? We call it sa'iqa. So the hadith says, As-sa'iqatu tusibu al-mu'mina wal-kafir. The lightning can fall, can reach a mu'min and a kafir. Wala tusibu dhakir Allah. But the lightning cannot reach a person who is in the stage, in the status of remembrance of Allah. It's impossible. It's impossible for lightning to touch or harm a person. لِلَّهِ جُنُودُ السَّمَوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. For Allah belongs all the soldier forces of heavens and earth. There was a story, one of the scholars was telling that in old times there was a businessman. It's very nice for us to remember that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, إِنَّ اللَّهَ قَدْ تَكَفَّلَ بِالرِّزْقِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the kafil. He is the sponsor of our risk. We should not sell our religion. We should not sell our values for the sake of jobs. In old days there was a businessman in Iran. A poor person. He started a new business of tea. And in old days, this scholar was telling the story that obviously in those days they were importing tea from India to Iran. He didn't have money. He started a new business, small business. And he wanted to export 1,000 tea boxes of tea from India.
So he sent a letter to the seller in India, and he wrote in Farsi, you know, 1,000 you put one, and then you for zeros they put dots in Farsi, in Arabic as well they put the dots, isn't it right, for the zero, sifr. So one, and then one dot, and two dot, and three dot for zeros. One and three zeros. 1,000 boxes of tea. The poor person who was muttaqi. Quran has says, وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهَ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا وَيَرْزُقْهُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَحْتَسِبُ. Whoever has taqwa of Allah, Allah will provide. Makhraj means opening for him. وَيَرْزُقْهُ, and he will provide risk to him from where he doesn't think of. كُنْ لِمَا لَا تَرْجُوْ أَرْجَى مِمَّا تَرْجُوْ أَرْجَى مِنْكَ مِمَّا تَرْجُوْ. Right, so he sent a letter to the seller in India, and he asked for 1,000 boxes of tea. He wrote one and a dot, one second dot and third dot, 1,000 boxes. But before he sent the letter, a fly came and sit on that paper and put in the dropping of fly fell on that paper, and the dropping fell down after the third zero. So this now becomes, it is now read as 10,000, because the fly put its dropping. By the, now the letter is sent to the seller in India, and the seller in India is now sent him 10,000 boxes of, 10 times more, 10,000 boxes of tea. Overnightly the person converted into a rich person. Please say salawat. By the dropping of a fly. Can you even imagine? Lillahi junudus samawati wal ard. You need to have tawakkul on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The humans are not the one who are providing your jobs. Your employer is not the person who is providing your job. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is providing you the job. Don't think your employer is providing the job. The day you think your employer provides you the job, you may start thinking that to please the employer instead of pleasing Allah. Ihtimalan. Is that right? So we say, we find that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know the story when Prophet Musa was, when Prophet Musa was asked by Allah to go towards the waterfront, and Prophet Musa went towards the water. Allah commands Prophet Musa to strike his asa, his stick on the water. Prophet Musa struck his asa, his stick on the water. The water opened and the water bed, the bottom, the water bed was visible. Then there was a stone at the bottom of the water. It was visible. Water went aside from both sides. Allah sent the wahi to strike his asa on the stone. Prophet Musa again struck his asa, his stick on the stone. The stone opened up. Inside the stone there was another stone, small stone. Allah commanded Prophet Musa to strike his asa again to the small stone inside the big stone. Strike the asa on the smaller stone. He strike his asa again on the small stone. The small stone opened up. And inside the second small stone, there's a small, tiny, blind insect. Tiny, blind insect. And the zikr, the phrase of remembrance. Tomorrow I mentioned to you the ayat of Quran where Allah says, وَإِن مِّن شَيْءٍ إِلَّا يُصَبِّحُ بِحَمْدِهِ وَلَكِنْ لَا تَفْقَهُونَ تَسْبِيحَهُمْ. Everything performs the tasbih of Allah, but you don't understand it. Every makhluk is doing the tasbih of Allah. We don't understand. So that hashara, that insect was also busy in the zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the insect was doing this zikr consistently, constantly, 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 repeating the zikr. O Allah, who did not forget my risk, me, the tiny blind insect inside two stones. O Allah, who did not forget the risk of me, the tiny blind insect inside the two stones. How would you forget the risk of Bani Adam, the humankind? This is the zikr, the risk that the insect was constantly, constantly repeating. And now you see those of the people who are selling their iman and their values for the sake of their business. Some people say, "Oh, Maulana, I work in such and such place, I cannot pray my Dhuhr prayers. Because you know, I'm at job." You have to tell your employer from day one that you are a Muslim. I know people who work for Jewish bosses and they have told their employers that I'm a Muslim, I have to pray. And they allowed the person to pray. You see, our religious value, we have to pray on time. Don't sell your iman for the sake of money. We need to have tawakkul on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What Amir Mumineen has said, that learn tawakkul from a dog. Amir Mumineen says, learn tawakkul from a dog. Dog goes out of the house, it doesn't care about tomorrow's risk. Allah provides the risk for tomorrow. Amir Mumin says, "Man ihtamma bi rizqi ghadin," whoever is worried about tomorrow's mahmoom and mahzoon about tomorrow's risk, whoever is worried about tomorrow's risk is not going to succeed. You cannot succeed in your life or in the hereafter if you are worried about tomorrow's risk. There are people who have the qahat. In the time of qahat, famine. You know, in the time of Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, there was a qahat, famine. The people were buying food items, piling up the food items in their house. Prices go high. This is haram in Islam. Ma'siyatun kabira, gunahi kabira, big sin in Islam. If there's an Islamic government, there will be punishment from the qadi against the person who piles up the food and necessary items in the time of shortage in the society. It's a big sin in Islam that Allah does not tolerate. Somebody comes to Imam Sadiq alayhi salam that this is a time of qahat, shortage of food, people are buying necessary items in their houses, piling up in their houses, why don't you also go and buy? What does Imam Sadiq alayhi salam reply? Nashtari ma'al muslimina yawman biyawm. We are going to buy alongside with the Muslims on daily basis. Yawman biyawm. This is the seerat of Ahlul Bayt alayhim salam. Please say salawat. So we find that one of the reasons why our Prophet and Ahlul Bayt alayhim salam are so high, one of the reasons of that is because of the fact that their tawakkul is the highest of all the levels of tawakkul of all the previous prophets. And Ilahi Daifuka Miskinuka Bifinaik Fakiruka Bibabik Ya Muhsanu Qad Atak al Musi Anta al Muhsanu Wa Ana al Musi وَقَدْ أَمَرْتَ الْمُحْسِنَ أَنْ يَتَجَاوَزَ عَنِ الْمُسِيءِ. Isn't it right? فَتَجَاوَزَ عَمْ قَبِيهِ مَا تَعْلَمْ لِجَمِيعِ مَا عِنْدَكَ. So we need to go to the door and bab of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Going to the door of Allah. Allah does not reject his sa'il. If you go to the door of Allah, you're not rejected. Allah is kareem. We should stop going to the doors and abwab of salateen and tawaheed and doors and abwabs of mushrikeen and kuffar and munafiqeen and ghairullah. There's one of the scholars who was telling the story that this there was a poor person, an abid, a regular worshipper, and he was hungry, didn't have food, so he went to the door of a mushrik person to ask for some begging, to ask for some food. And the mushrik person came out, he had his dog standing outside the door, dog was also hungry. He gave the food to his dog. He gave three breads, he gave all the three to his dog. This abid person, this regular worshipper of Allah, obviously he was jahil. The ibadat with jahil has no, you know, has very, very less value. That's why, نَوْمٌ مَعَ عِلْمٍ خَيْرٌ مِّن صَلَاةٍ فِي شَكٍ.
الجلوس عند مذاكرة العلم أفضل من تلاوة القرآن بإثنى عشرة ألف مرة.
The hadith says from Ibn Umayyah alayhi salam, sitting in muzakarat al-ilm, in the gathering where knowledge of Quran and Ahlul Bayt is mentioned, is superior than reciting Quran 12,000 times.
Just imagine if you read Quran 12,000 times. This is not superior in the eyes of Amir al-Mumin alayhi salam. Sitting for a while, al-julusu sa'atan, sitting for a while in a gathering of knowledge of Quran and Ahlul Bayt is superior. This is called wa'i, basirat, proper understanding of the religion. Some people don't have basira, they're akhbiya, silly people. They're following Islam and the ibadat in a silly way, himaqat. This is why the value of the ibadat is also not there or very less. So we find that this person, mushrik person, came out and he gave three breads to his dog. It's narrated in the history. This guy complains, this abid complained to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, I am hungry, and this person gave the bread to his dog. And it was said to him that the dog is at the door of his owner, but you didn't go to the door of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you went to the bab and door of aduwullah, and the enemy of Allah and a mushrik. Isn't that shameful? Where is your haya? Some people don't have haya. La deena liman la haya alahu. Where is your haya? You are going to a mushrik? Instead of going to the Babullah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Who is the Babullah? Abwabullah. Assalamu alayka. We call our a'imma alayhi salam to be abwab. They are the abwab of Allah, abwab of Ar-Rahman. Everything which is coming, assalamu alaykum, ya baballah alladhi minhu yuta. Salam be on the door of Allah, that everything is given through that door. So everything which is given to the universe is given through Imam Sahib al-Zaman alayhi salatu wa salam. They are the baballah. They are the abwabullah. So we need to turn towards them. They are the mazahir and majali. They are the mazhar and reflection of all the asma and sifat of Allah. Instead of going to the kuffar and munafiqeen. Isn't it right? People don't have tawakkul. They don't understand the concept of tawakkul. People going to the abwab al-salateen. Isn't it right? Inni wadatul izza fi qiyam al-layl. Allah sends the wahi to Prophet Musa alayhi salam. Inni wadatul izza fi qiyam al-layl. Wa nas yatlubunahu fi abwab al-salateen. I put izzat and dignity in qiyam al-layl, standing up in the night. وَالنَّاسْ يَطْلِبُونَهُ فِي أَبْوَابِ السَّلَاطِينَ. And people are seeking izzat, going to the doorsteps of the rulers, tawaghit. You know, Ayatullah al-Uzma Sistani, please say a loud salawat for the long life of Ayatullah al-Uzma Sistani. Did not agree
to talk to any zalim in his life. This is the azamat. He did not agree to talk to any tahut or zalim in his entire life. So there are people who are doing tamalluk towards tawagheet. Isn't it right? This is your policy. It's nothing to do with the maraji. This is not the mawqif of marji'iyat. This is your policy. We don't respect you. We respect the maraji. The mawqif of Samahat al-Wali al-Faqih hafizahullah is already very obvious. Everybody knows what's the mawqif of our maraji and our qiyada towards the tawaghit. But there are people who think they can get izzat and honor by having, you know, one photograph taken with along with this zalim, and they can hang their photograph in their living room and talk about that and brag about that in front of their grandchildren. Isn't it right? That's how some people are. Because these people don't understand the concept of tawakkul in Islam. So we find that
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the hadith says, man u'tiya tawakkul, u'tiya al-kifaya. Whosoever has been given tawakkul, he has been given kifaya. I mean, Allah suffices him. His need is taken care of. So, if we want our hajat, our needs taken care of by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then we need to also have tawakkul in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Please say salawat. Whatever has been destined by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is bound to reach us in any way. And nobody can take that much from us. So our duty is to focus on our fara'id. We cannot take more than what is destined. We cannot lose what is destined by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala either. Amir Mu'mineen alayhi salam went inside the masjid for his salat. And he gave this horse to a person, his horse to a person as amanat to take care of this horse for a short while until he performs his salat in the masjid. When he comes out, this guy was a thief. He was a kha'in. Then Imam Ridha alayhi salam says, لَمْ يَكُنْكَ الْأَمِينَ وَلَكِنْ اِعْتَمَنْتَ الْخَائِنَ. The Ameen person, amanatdar, a person who takes care of the entrusted trusts. An Ameen person did not betray you. You happen to trust a betraying person. Not that he, all of a sudden, he converted into a betrayer and khain. He was like this. You made a mistake in judging him and you consider a khain person to be a mean. And a mean person is not going to betray you. لَمْ يَكُنْكَ الْأَمِينَ وَلَكِنْ اِحْتَمَنْتَ الْخَائِنَ. So we find this person was a thief. And when Amir Mu'mineen alayhi salam comes out of the masjid after his salat, we find this thief, he stole the reins, the zimam, the reins of the horse in Kufa. And the horse is there and the zimam and reins are gone. The person left, he stole, stealing the reins of the horse. He's a thief. Imam Ali alayhi salam goes to the marketplace. Kufa was not a town of millions and millions of people in those days. There was few small, very less population. It was one marketplace, not a, you know, several big bazaars or, you know, shopping malls or something. Imam Ali goes to the marketplace and this guy, the thief, is also standing in the same market. He was selling the same reins of the horse in the same market, and Imam Ali went there to buy a new one. And Imam Ali meets the person and he said to him, Imam says to him, I had in my niyat, in other words, to pay you the same amount of money that you made after selling the stolen zimam and reins. I have in my niyat to pay you the same amount of money, but you earned that money through the haram. So you're not going to get at the end of the day more than what is destined by Allah. Even though you may work overtime, no matter how many hours you work overtime, you're not going to get more than what is qada and qadar in the written in the destiny of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Prophet has said to Abu Dharr in his wasiyyat, قَدْ جَرَ الْقَلَمْ بِمَا هُوَ كَائِنٌ إِلَىٰ يَوْمِ الْقِيَامَةِ. قَدْ جَرَ الْقَلَمْ, that means the qalam of Allah has moved, بِمَا هُوَ كَائِنٌ, about all that is going to happen till the Day of Judgment. Everything has been already written down on the lawh, on the divine slate by the divine pen. Can we change the destiny? Can we write something new? قَدْ جَرَ الْقَلَمْ بِمَا هُوَ. And our urafa say, قَدْ جَفَّ الْقَلَمْ بِمَا هُوَ كَائِنِ إِلَى يَوْمِ الْقِيَامَةِ. The ink of the pen has dried up after writing. So nothing new can be written. That is so true. So these people are really ahmaq. They are silly people who don't understand. They think they are smart, but they are harming their own selves. You cannot make a single penny more than what is written already by Allah. And what is already written by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, nobody can take away from you. So don't waste your time on anything else but your fariza in Allah.
In talab al-ilm, Amir Mumi alayhi salam says, in talab al-ilm, awjab alaykum min talab al-mal. Seeking knowledge is more wajib on you than seeking money. So, the people don't understand. So we find that this tawakkul provides the izzat from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When we have tawakkul, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes us ghani, beniyaz. We won't stand in need of anyone else other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So our trust is in Allah. It will remove the fear of anyone and anything in our life. Our mawqif, our nahjul hayat, our lifestyle will change forever. Those who have tawakkul, their lives change forever. Remember the story of Imam al-Khumayni radwanullah alayh, when he was coming back from Paris? Is that right? And Shahpur Bakhtiyar, la'anatullahi alayh, this puppet of Shah, gave away the Mehrabad airport to the army, installed surface-to-air missiles, sawarikh, al-mudadda li-ta'irat, on the matar. Is that right? And the airline refused any airplane for Imam al-Khumayni to come back from Paris. But Quran has already made clear the mawqif and policy and the sunnat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Imam Baqir al-Sadr rahmatullahi alayh has this book, As-Sunanul Ilahiyya fi al-Tariq. I recommend every mu'min brother and sister must read the book of Imam al-Sadr, As-Sunanul Ilahiyya fi al-Tariq. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has some sunnats, some formulas, that He's running the universe according to those sunnat. وَلَن تَجِدَ لِسُنَّةِ اللَّهِ تَبْدِيلًا. You can never find a change in the sunnat and tradition and formula of Allah. You want to succeed, you need to adjust yourself according to the sunnat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah is not going to bend on His sunnat for us and our jahl. So Allah has already announced His policy, وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهَ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا. Isn't it right? He doesn't care about the missiles. This is what you talk to some people. Why don't you do your fariza towards the dhulm? They say, well, we don't have the means and tools and wasail to do that. Oh, so you are talking about the means and tools, or if we do this, this and this and this is going to happen. Oh, so you are talking about the natija. This is going to happen. This is all about natija. Who gave you the license in Islam to talk about natija? Natija is Allah's domain. You need to focus on your fariza towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And let Allah take care of His job, and Allah is taking care of His job. مَا مُكَلَّفْ بِوَظِيفَيْنِ نَا نَتِيجَةِ. Isn't it right? He used to say, نَحْنُ مُكَلَّفُونَ بِالْفَرِيضَ لَسْنَ مُكَلَّفِينَ بِالْنَتِيجَةِ. If anybody focuses on natija in his life, he can never succeed in his life. The only way to become successful and sa'id and sa'adatmand is that you focus on your fariza ila Allah and stop focusing about the result. Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam is successful even though Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam becomes shaheed. His family gets killed, becomes shaheed. Rest of the family members become asir and captives in the hands of Yazid la'anatullah alayh. And Yazid remains into power for next 2 years. But still Imam Husayn is successful. Why? Because he performs his fariba. Isn't it right? Towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He doesn't care about the natija. Just like his father, La ubali bil maut. La ubali aqaw alal maut aw waqa al maut alayya. It's a maqmuna riwaya. I don't care whether I fall on that or that falls on me. That's how Amir Mumi alayhi salam was. We're wearing the dir, zireh, the body armor of Imam Ali alayhi salam was one-sided. Only in the front. The body armor of Imam Ali was only the steel in the front, not at the back. So he doesn't have to face his back towards the enemy and run away from the battlefield, which is haram and big sin in Islam. He focuses on the fariza. Don't forget about the result. So Imam al-Khumayni radwanullah alayhi, he came. Allah arranges from His own ways. He is musabbibul asbab.
And you find 4.5 million people came to welcome him at the Mehrabad airport. And you don't find where is the army gone. Where are the missiles and where is the army? Allah has His own ways of helping those who have taqwa. وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهَ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا. We would have trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And all the members of Ahlul Bayt are at the highest level of this tawakkul. Highest level of tawakkul. Including the children of Hazrat Muslim ibn Aqil salamullahi alayhima. And tonight I would like to talk about the children of Hazrat Muslim ibn Aqil. Muhammad and Ibrahim. These two children are in the prison of Ibn Ziyad. La'anatullahi alayhi. In the prison. They are in the prison for 1 year in Kufa. And the elder son says that let us talk about to this prison keeper. In other words, let's go and introduce ourselves. Maybe he can have some rahm and mercy. And I'm paraphrasing these narrations in my own words. So they went and talked to this old prison keeper, old person, old guy, and said to him, "Do you know Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam?" He said, "I am a Muslim. I am a Muslim. I believe in the Prophet." They said to him, "Do you know Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salam?" He said, "I am a Shia. I believe in Imam Ali is my first Imam." Look at the situation of Kufa. A Shia prisoning a Shia. This is how the Tawhid does. This is how the Tawhid does. Isn't it right? Making one Shia to fight against the other. Working with the Tawhid. Our Maraji are not even ready to talk to a Tawhid over the telephone. For 1 minute. This is whose maqif? This is not the maqif of Marji'iyah to do tamalluk or shughl in the Tawhid. So, من أحب بقاءهم كان منهم ومن كان منهم كان ورد النار. Whoever loves the baqa of the tawaghit is considered to be part of the tawaghit along with them. And he will be resurrected, mahshur, on the day of judgment in the zumra, in the category of the tawaghit. Alhamdulillah ala dhalik. So we find that then he said to the prison keeper, "Do you know Al-Hasan?" That means Imam Al-Hasan Al-Mujtaba alayhi salam. He said, "He's my second Imam." "Do you know Imam Al-Husayn alayhi salam?" "Yeah, may Allah, he's my third Imam. May Allah put his la'nat on the killers of Husayn. They killed Husayn, you know, without water." So he's also sending the la'nat on the killers, but he's working with the killers. Isn't it right? So now he says, "Do you know Muslim ibn Aqil?" He said, "Yes, they killed him, you know, ghariban, you know, lonely." You know, Muslim ibn Aqil was put lonely, no one was there to help him. And now the children introduce themselves that we are the children of Muslim ibn Aqil. This person was a mu'min. He had the fear of Allah remaining in his heart. You know, some people like Hud had some love of Ahlul Bayt remaining in his heart. Although he was working for Tawut. So this person was also having some love of Ahlul Bayt was there. Some fear of Allah was there. So he said, "Okay, tonight when the night comes and it will be dark everywhere, I will set you free from the prison." This person feared Allah. So it seems that he is a nice person. He has fear of Allah. So the job with the tawaghit is allowed with the permission of the wali. And if you serve the mu'mineen in Islam. So we find that he, when the night came, he gave these two children of Ahlul Bayt, Muhammad and Ibrahim, sons of Muslim ibn Aqil, salamullah alayhima, he gave them some water and some of the breads and set them free from the prison. It's a very big thing. Because obviously if you set somebody free, you can be killed by the government.
And these children of Ahlul Bayt, they go out and they are walking and wandering. They are wandering in the city and they don't know the directions and the ways of where to go, you know, towards Medina. They don't know the directions. And finally they got so tired and their feet got mutawarrim and swollen. So finally they reached the close to the river and relaxed in the next to the river. In the morning we find the Amma, the Kanis, the servant of Ash'as wife, Ash'as la'anatullah alayhi was one of the Ashqiyah. His wife was a Shia. And her servant came, this woman came next to the river to get some zahir and some water. So we find that she saw the two children, their you know, reflection in the river. So she talked to the children, "Who are you?" They were very afraid. They said, "If we introduce ourselves to you, you will keep us secure in Amn or not?" In other words, she said, "Yeah, you are in Amn. Nobody is going to, I'm not going to bother you." So then they introduced themselves that we are the children of Musnad ibn Aqil. She said, "My owner is a woman who is a Shia. My master is a woman who is a Shia, and let me take you to her. Obviously she is going to respect you because she is a Shia, the wife of Ash'as." She takes the children to to her master, that lady. And lady was so happy, she got the children of Musa ibn Aqil. It's a big sawab, you know, to serve the khidmat of Ahlul Bayt. She provides them the food and makes them sleep comfortably in a room. Till the time comes, we learn in the history, that till the time comes that Ash'as la'anatullah alayhi arrives in the house and he hears some voices coming from his house. Because the children woke up at the same time and they were talking to each other about the dream, ru'ya, that they saw. Both of them saw the same dream. Rasulullah is talking in the dream to Hazrat Musa ibn Aqil that you came but you left your children behind. And Hazrat Musa ibn Aqil replies back that they are going to join me in paradise tomorrow night. So this is how they were talking. And both of them wake up and both of them tell their dreams to each other and their dreams were similar. So when Ash'as hears these voices coming from his home, he went there and found that these are the children of Musa ibn Aqil. And Ibn Ziyad, there was a big prize from the Taghut over the heads of these children. So he slaps on the face of these two kids and he ties up their hands. And we find his wife stops him from doing that, but he does not listen to his wife. Finally, on the next day, he brings the two children to the river, next to the river, to kill them. He asks his son to kill the children of Musa ibn Aqil. The son refuses the father. "I don't want to have my hands in the blood of Ahlul Bayt." Now he asks his ghulam, his servant, to kill the children of Ahlul Bayt. And the ghulam drops himself into the river so that he had to avoid what the master is saying. So he doesn't kill the children of Ahlul Bayt. Finally, the riwayat says, he himself, this shaqi, la'anatullah alayh, he himself kills the children. He comes to the bigger son, the elder son, and the younger son says, "I cannot tolerate my elder brother getting killed in front of me, so kill me first." Look at the love that these children have towards each other. So he comes to the younger brother, and now the elder brother says, "When I came out from Medina, my mother handed over the younger son to me in my care." So basically he's trying to say, "What am I going to reply to my mother if you kill my younger brother in front of me? So don't kill him in front of me, kill me first." Now that the shaqi comes towards the elder brother again to kill him, he asks for permission to do the namaz salat. Look at the azmat of the children, even the children of Ahlul Bayt. He's doing the salat in the final moments. And he did his two rakats of prayers. And he prayed to Allah that you do the hukum between me, in other words, between us and the zalim. And the elder brother was killed first. And the younger brother comes and puts his hand into the blood of his elder brother and rubs the blood over his own face. And finally, the younger one was also killed.
السلام عليك يا أبا عبد الله. تقول أرباب المقاتل عندما وصل مسلم بن عقيل إلى الكوفة بايعه 40,000، وبعد عدة أيام لم يبق عنده إلا 4,000 رجلا. فلما دل